Welcome to 7-Minute Torah. I'm Rabbi Micah Streifer. In this podcast, we make modern meaning out of ancient texts. We explore the weekly Torah portion in about 7 to 12 minutes. 7-Minute Torah is a production of La'asok, the liberal Beit Midrash. You can become a supporter at laasok.org or at patreon.com/7-Minute Torah. Welcome, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. This week, we are on part 2 of reading about scaly skin disease and other kinds of impurity as we open Metzorah, which encompasses Leviticus chapters 14 and 15. First, let me say thank you to Ben Brickley of London, who became the newest supporter of 7-Minute Torah this past week. Very appreciative to Ben for his support of this work, for helping make this podcast happen. And I also wanted to say we're going to try something new. Sometime in the next couple of months, I'm going to do a special call, a Zoom call, for all those supporters who help sustain 7-Minute Torah, either through Patreon or through La'asok. It'll be just an opportunity for us to get together and chat, do a little bit of learning together. So if you'd like to join us for that, then please become a supporter of 7-Minute Torah. And you can do so either at laasok.org, L-A-A-S-O-K, under support. And there you just give a donation, which, by the way, is tax deductible. You can do it monthly. Or you can go to patreon.com, patreon.com/7-Minute Torah. And I look forward to meeting so many of you who have been supporting this podcast and making it possible. And now, in the worst segue ever, let's talk about scaly skin disease. So as I said, Metzorah is the second of two parshiyot that deal with this. Last week in Tazria, we get largely the procedure for diagnosing this skin disease called tzara'at, which is often translated as leprosy, but isn't really leprosy. It's really some kind of a flaky skin disease or ailment that would have been reported to the priest. The priest was to say whether or not the person needed to be isolated for 7 days. Then after 7 days, the person would come back in. The priest would look again. They'd be isolated again if they needed it. And ultimately, you make your way back into the camp once you've recovered. And that's where this week's Torah portion takes over. So Metzorah begins with these words, Vayedaber Adonai el Moshe lemor. Adonai spoke to Moses saying, Zot tihye Torat haMetzorah b'yom tohorato. This shall be the ritual for the Metzorah. Metzorah, my translation says leper, but it really means someone with tzara'at at the time when that person is purified. And the procedure is that they are brought to the priest, and if the priest sees that the person is cured, then the person brings an offering, a sacrifice, essentially of purification, of expiation for whatever sin, because they assumed that there was some transgression behind the sickness, and presumably for thanksgiving to God for having been cured. So this is a Torah portion that's about people who are sick after they've been cured, after they're brought back into the camp, which made me think about what happens during that time when you're not yet cured. The Torah makes it sound simple. You'll go outside for 7 days, you'll come back in, you'll bring your offering. But it must have often taken much longer than 7 days. I mean, we know from our recent pandemic how hard the isolation of sickness can be. This skin disease, in a world of no antibiotics, in a world of very limited medical treatment, could have lasted much longer. So you can imagine that there must have been a class of people who were semi-permanently isolated from society. So what was the life of the Metzorah like? The Torah gives us a couple of clues. In last week's Parsha, and I talked about this in last week's podcast, we're told that the Metzorah, the person with this disease, has to put on the trappings of mourning. They have to tear their clothing and uncover their head, cover their upper lip, which presumably means wearing a mask. And anytime somebody comes near, they have to shout out, impure, impure, presumably in order to warn people to stay away. So it sounds pretty isolating. And the Midrash adds to that. Now, remember that the Midrash is not written at the same time as the Torah. The Midrash is 1,000 years later than the Torah, or at least 700 to 800 years later than the Torah, depending on when you think the Torah was written and when the particular Midrash was written. Either way, this is the later rabbis augmenting, interpreting, adding to what they read in the Torah. And here's what they say in Leviticus Rabbah, chapter 16, verse 3. Rabbi Yochanan said, "It is forbidden to walk 4 cubits to the east of the leper." The reason being, of course, because the wind, I guess, might blow leprosy, might blow tzara'at toward you. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish said, "Even 100 cubits, he wouldn't want to walk within 100 cubits downwind of someone with tzara'at." The rabbis go on now, talking about how they avoid people with this disease. Rabbi Meir ate no eggs that came from a leper's alley. Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi, they would not even enter the alley. Then it says that when Reish Lakish saw a Metzorah in the city, he would throw stones in their direction and say, "Go to your own place and do not pollute others." And that when Rabbi Elazar, the son of Rabbi Shimon, saw one of them, he would hide himself from them. So this is really striking, the severity with which these rabbis are treating the people with this disease. They're staying far away, in some cases, maybe even taunting. It doesn't say that Reish Lakish is throwing stones at them, but rather that he's sort of like lobbing the stones in their direction to keep them away. It feels like a very severe ostracizing of these people with this disease, which I'm sure comes out of fear. Nobody wants to get sick. That's why we wore masks and stayed away from each other during the pandemic. But it's one thing to wear a mask and stay away, and it's another thing to throw stones and shout at people to get away. Those are different actions, and the second one involves an element of dehumanization of the other. And that's particularly notable when we remember that ancient people believed that these diseases came upon people as punishment for transgression. And specifically, the rabbis believe that tzara'at is a punishment for lashon hara, for using words for evil. But either way, what we have here really is a case of people ostracizing others, not only for contagion reasons, but for what feels like moral reasons. Stay away from me. I don't want you to rub off on me. There must be something wrong with you. God's punishing you, so don't come near me. And when I was studying this with my Midrash study group this morning, somebody pointed out that it feels like the early days of the AIDS crisis, in which people who had HIV, largely members of the gay community in those days, were ostracized in really awful ways. And not only kept away, not only wear a mask and stay away from me, but demonized, persecuted, ostracized in ways that feel unconscionable when we look back on it. And that as well was not only about contagion, but sometimes it took on a tinge of moralism. God must be punishing you for being gay. We human beings do have a tendency to moralize. If something's going wrong with you, it may well be because of something you did wrong. God's punishing you for your lashon hara. God's punishing you for being gay. We do this with what we might call social ailments as well. Oh, they're homeless because they're lazy. They're poor because they don't want to work. That's why they're on welfare. And we walk around the homeless person sleeping downtown on the city grate. We don't bother to look them in the face. We don't bother to see them as a human being. This is nothing new, but it's also not limited to an ancient age. And that, to me, makes this next passage from the Talmud really pertinent, because it seems to me that the rabbis, who also live in fear of people with this disease and seem to be quite adept at dehumanizing or at least avoiding them, are at the same time trying to push back against that impulse. This is from the Talmud Tractate Sanhedrin 98b, and we actually talked about this in past years. You might have heard my past podcast about this story. The story goes that Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi once met the prophet Elijah and asked him, "When will the Messiah come?" And the prophet Elijah says to him, "Go ask him yourself." So the rabbi says, "Well, where am I supposed to find the Messiah?" And Elijah says, "You'll find him at the entrance of the city of Rome. He sits among the poor, sovlei chalaim, those who suffer from illnesses." So it doesn't specifically say leprosy or tzara'at, but it's pretty clear that we're talking about an ostracized population sitting at the gates of the city. And Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi asks the prophet Elijah, "How will I know which one is the Messiah?" And the prophet Elijah says, "Well, he's sitting among these poor people with diseases, and all of them are tying and untying their bandages. But the Messiah unties and then ties his bandages one at a time, so that when he is needed as the Messiah, he will not be delayed." So the rabbis have placed the Messiah among the ostracized population. They've placed the Messiah among the most vulnerable, the most looked down upon group in society. Whereas in the last Midrash they said, "Oh, I'd rather not go near those people." In this one they say essentially something that sounds like, if you want to find the Messiah, if you want to find Tikkun Olam, if you want to find a better world, you'll find it among the ostracized. And if we were to go on and read the rest of the story, we'd find there's a message there of essentially, you have to do the work of bringing the Messianic age. You have to go find the Messiah, do the work, do tikkun, repair the world, and that's when the Messiah will come. Which works really nicely with our liberal Jewish theology, because most of us don't believe in a personal Messiah anyway. So in the end, the message here, I think, is twofold. Number one, don't count on God to bring the Messiah. You go do the work. And number two, in order to do the work, you have to be able to see the ostracized, the vulnerable, as human beings. You have to be willing to go to the gates of the city and help those who need help. And the first step to doing that is to see them as human. Imagine that anybody, even that person sleeping on the street, even that person with a disease that you don't understand, imagine that they might be the Messiah. Imagine that they might have something unique and special to contribute to this world. If we did so, we would act differently. And then maybe we'd be a little closer to bringing about real repair, real tikkun, to our world. Thanks for listening, everyone. 7-Minute Torah is a production of La'asok, Sacred Texts, Modern Meaning. If you enjoy this program, please consider becoming a sponsor at patreon.com/7minutetorah or making a tax-deductible donation to La'asok at laasok.org, laasok.org. I'm Rabbi Micah Streifer. Thanks for listening.